Welcome to The Week Ahead in Russia, RFURL's Monday podcast about significant developments and upcoming events in Moscow and beyond. I'm Steve Gutterman, and my guest this week is Mike Eckel, senior correspondent here at RFURL. Mike, thanks for joining me today, and a belated thanks for hosting a couple editions of this podcast in August and early September.
My pleasure, Steve.
All right. Now, just a caveat that we are recording this on Friday, September 25th, because Monday is a holiday here in the Czech Republic, Statehood Day. And it's a special podcast this week devoted to an exclusive report that RFURL issued on Thursday, the result of some pretty amazing investigative reporting by Mike and a few colleagues, RFURL Enterprise Editor Carl Schreck and Mark Krutov and Sergei Dobrynin, correspondents with RFURL's Russian service. Now, the subject of the report, in case you haven't read it, is a Russian opposition figure's search for the truth about his suspected poisoning. And I'll just say it's not Alexei Navalny, though there are some similarities in the cases. But, Mike, you led the reporting. Why don't you tell us who it is about and what you found?
Thanks, Steve. So, indeed, the gentleman we're speaking of is Vladimir Karamurza. For people who don't know him, Karamurza has been a figure, a presence in Russia's opposition for many years. His most prominent position was as the deputy to an ally and close friend to Boris Nemtsov. Boris Nemtsov, of course, was the former deputy prime minister under Boris Yeltsin and rose to become quite a charismatic and public figure under Putin until 2015, when he was gunned down, shot dead just meters from the Kremlin walls. Now, Karamurza, about 3 months after Nemtsov's killing, Karamurza was in Moscow for a work trip when he fell suddenly and gravely ill. He very nearly died, and he ended up recovering. And 2 years later, the same thing happened to him again. A sudden illness, organs shutting down, on life support, critical condition. And, suffice to say, twice in 2 years while on trips to Russia, raises a lot of questions. And Karamurza and his allies managed to smuggle blood and tissue samples out of Russia to have them tested independently to find out exactly what happened. Laboratories in Europe and Israel weren't able to put their fingers on what exactly may have afflicted him. Mm-hmm. And Karamurza also, who has generated some significant support in U.S. Congress, managed to get some of those samples, to the FBI. The FBI has been testing those samples to try and determine what exactly, if anything, is in his body that caused him to fall ill. The FBI promised the Congress and Karamurza to not only test but also provide some results. Then they reversed themselves for reasons that are still unclear. Karamurza ended up filing a Freedom of Information request, mm-hmm. and then he ended up suing, actually, in U.S. federal court earlier this year to get a hold of the documents. Last week, those documents, the first batch of documents, were released, and RFURL obtained those exclusively, and our report looks specifically at what those reveal and some of the clues that they give to his illness.
Okay, and what would you say is the main take from those documents?
So I think the main takeaway is there is no smoking gun. There is no proof immediately that there was a poison in his system. There are hints of what the FBI has been testing, what they've been investigating, but there's no conclusive evidence that some sort of poison, exotic toxin was found. Now, That's not the end of the story. Just before the September 15th deadline for the U.S. government to release these documents, there was a notification from the government that they had suddenly found another 1,100 pages at the last moment that concerned blood and other tissue tests from Karamurza, and that the government was struggling to get them, would struggle to get them out before the next court set deadline of October 15th. So there's more material coming, and that material may provide, hopefully will provide, conclusive evidence or definitive proof either way that he was or was not poisoned. But suffice to say, Karamurza's case has risen to the highest levels of the U.S. government. His case has been discussed at the White House. It's been discussed by the State Department. It's been discussed among the U.S. intelligence community. It even was brought up or was on the agenda for an unusual meeting in January 2018 when the three heads of Russia's main intelligence agencies came to Washington and met with the then CIA director, Mike Pompeo. Mm-hmm. So the Karamurza's case is definitely attracted some attention in the U.S. government at the highest levels over the past couple of years. And so that's something important to keep in mind as we go forward looking in to see if the FBI has been able to determine what afflicted Karamurza.
Okay. And, you know, obviously these developments in Karamurza's case come amid sharp focus on Alexei Navalny's poisoning. Mike, what do you think Karamurza's case says in terms of broader questions about whether Russia's intelligence agencies are moving or have moved more aggressively to use sophisticated toxins and chemicals and poisons to target a variety of people, dissidents, Kremlin opponents, and in some cases, former spies?
So, of course, Navalny's case has been in the news of late. He was, as people recall, he fell ill while on a flight back from the Siberian city of Tomsk on August 20th. Mm-hmm. He ended up being hospitalized in Omsk, medevaced to Berlin, and German doctors ultimately discovered while treating him that he had been poisoned with a chemical, a substance that is included in the class of chemicals where Novichok comes from. Mm-hmm. Novichok, of course, is the Soviet-era nerve agent that first came to international headlines in 2018 when Sergei Skripal, a former Russian military agent and double agent, fell deathly ill in England and nearly died. He and his daughter was also poisoned by Novichok, according to British officials. Both of them have recovered. And the fact that Novichok was used, this very sophisticated poison in the Skripal case, really rang alarm bells from London to Germany to Washington and made people sit up and take notice and think, what's going on here? Are we seeing a return to KGB-era tactics whereby these incredibly advanced poisons are being used, as you say, to target dissidents, former spies, political opponents of the Kremlin? So in that context, that's the larger context that Karamurza's case is now being considered. Now, again, the FBI documents, if we get them and get the full release, not redacted information, I may not be able to prove that Karamurza suffered any poison, much less some sort of sophisticated poison like Novichok. However, it is worth noting that that the meeting I mentioned earlier when the Russian spy chiefs came to Washington and met with the CIA chief, that occurred in January 2018. The Skripal case, Skripal's poisoning, happened in March 2018, just a couple months after that. Mm-hmm. So the point being is that there is this larger context, this larger awareness or concern among Western intelligence agencies, chemical weapons experts, scientists, that there's this trend happening whereby these individuals who have somehow crossed swords with the Kremlin or with Russian agencies have been exposed to these poisons. And it's concerning, and you can bet that that again, the intelligence agencies are watching very closely to see how the Karamazov case plays out and if we get a final definitive answer.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, I mean, one thing also that, or related that this knowledge about what happened will contribute to is the idea that some of the victims of apparent poisoning or known poisoning have been, as you say, former Russian intelligence agents, Skripal, and also Alexander Litvinenko, who was poisoned with polonium-210, you know, obviously different from Novichok, but deadly in his case. He died in 2006 in Britain. Navalny is obviously, you know, not an intelligence agent, but a political opponent of the Kremlin, as is Vladimir Karamazov. So, you know, I think there's some sense that, you know, if these are attacks being carried out, you know, specifically, then they are now, you know, broadening, I guess, the targets. So there, and of course, Nemtsov was killed as well. Anna Politkovskaya was poisoned at one point and survived that before being shot to death. But so I think that's right. Another kind of factor in this. You mentioned going forward, and you've kind of answered this, you know, obviously you found a lot in these documents that you obtained. But there are some questions that remain unanswered. What do you think the prospects now are for answering them and for Karamazov to kind of get to the bottom of what happened to him and to get some clarity?
Well, I mean, the next question is, of course, what's in these additional 1,100 pages that has been identified by the government, by the FBI and the Justice Department, and when they will be released and in what form, whether they'll be fully redacted, partially redacted, what clues we'll be able to get from those documents. The government in its latest court filing indicated that it would not be able to meet an August 15 deadline to release all the materials that it found, and has asked for a November 15th deadline to release all these materials. Now, Karamazov's lawyers say, no, we're not going to go with that. We're going to fight it. We want to get these materials out sooner rather than later. I believe they're going to ask the judge in U.S. court to set an October 30 deadline to have these materials released. So, I think I'm no expert on FOIA law and judicial developments, but I would say, you know, given the larger context, that there's some compelling arguments that Karamazov and his lawyers have that these documents should come out sooner rather than later. And the final point I think to make is that Karamazov has said repeatedly that it's not just the definitive answer of what caused him to fall ill that he's looking for. He's also hoping for some sort of modicum of truth that will provide some protection for him, because he does continue to travel to Russia and he does continue to be very active in Russia opposition circles. Mm-hmm. So if there was a poison, if the FBI has determined what it is, and if Karamazov can then publicize that, the belief is that will, you know, potentially help again perhaps shield him from future such attacks, or maybe other opponents? That's a very open question these days. And it's again, the intelligence agencies are watching these sort of developments very closely. So we'll have to see if the judge is willing to set an October 30th deadline for the next release of documents.
All right. Yeah, absolutely. I guess I think you said August 15th was the deadline, but I think you meant October 15th, and that's the deadline that
That's right, October 15th.
Right.
Thank you for correcting
me. So they're asking for at least until November 15th, and then we'll see whether the judge will set an earlier date for that.
Correct.
Obviously, keep a close eye on this. Mike, thanks a lot. It's great reporting. We're running out of time. We're going to have to wrap it up for today. Thanks a lot for joining me, Mike.
You're very welcome, Steve.
Okay, I'll be back next Monday with another edition of The Week Ahead in Russia. Meanwhile, please keep an eye out on Friday for my Week in Russia newsletter. Thank you for listening.